I like that. Good morning, Northwest Arkansas, and everybody else out there listening.
Yeah.
My name is Mark Rockwell.
I'm Josiah Goss.
And we are Two Nuts on a Tree. We appreciate everybody joining us. We hope you like our new setup.
Yeah, this is pretty fun. We've got some good material for today as our first show on our official podcast.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, really, we have upgraded tremendously.
Is this like the radio show a little bit for you?
No, this is a lot more intimidating. Yeah.
Because they can see you?
A lot more intimidating, yes.
That's awesome.
I mean, I look really good on the radio.
Yeah, because yeah, you couldn't see.
Here it's just like old.
Oh,
old
gosh. Yes. Oh, how funny.
So, anyway, this morning, there's a few things here. Let me adjust this.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. There we go. Let's talk. Look, this is what, the third week in January?
Yeah.
It's colder than a well digger's tent. What is it?
Yeah, it's pretty
degrees?
Cold. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, let's introduce Jessica.
Yes.
You can't see her, folks, but she owns Senti Studios.
Yeah.
She's the one that
Our wonderful producer.
She makes...
She applauded herself. Yeah.
So she is in charge of all the buttons.
Yeah. She's got some good ones.
Yeah, that's right. Just don't push your buttons. It will be
She's
fine.
Gotten buttons for when I make fun of you. Or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's plenty of those.
Yeah.
So this morning, what we're going to talk about is it's the third week of January. It's cold out there. I think it's 6 degrees. It was 6 degrees when I came out this morning.
Yes, yeah.
So what do people do? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, right now people are hibernating. They're inside.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the obvious thing is they have indoor plants that they need to take care of.
Oh, absolutely.
Fertilom has them covered on that.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that.
Yep. I got all of that. Yep.
And because they're dealing with insects and what to fertilize with,
mm-hmm.
okay, on the indoor plants, because they take maintenance throughout the wintertime. What else?
Well, there's also things outdoors that you can be doing as far as insects. And so we'll be mm-hmm. covering those.
Yes.
Bases.
Dormant oil.
Yep.
Okay.
Things for like scale and,
right.
you know, bug problems out in the garden.
And I did get some emails, okay, through Rockwell Farms. And, just to let people know, they can email us.
Yes.
Through rockwellfarms.com.
Correct. You can also comment on these videos if they're on YouTube. The ones that are on YouTube, I think we'll be expanding to other platforms as well. Mm-hmm. But for now, on YouTube, you can comment underneath the videos, and we will answer those questions to our best ability on this show. And so that's a great way because that content helps other gardeners. So if you mm-hmm. have a question or comment or you need answers to something in your garden or landscape, mm-hmm. You're not just helping yourself get those answers. You're helping potentially thousands of other gardeners. So
yes. And let's also comment on, I did get an email about wanting to plant trees mm-hmm. during the wintertime. So we'll
sure.
touch on bird compost and the effects that has.
Correct. Yeah.
And then we have a lot of spring meadow plants coming in this spring.
Yeah.
And so let's get people excited about what we'll carry.
Yeah, Sandy's really set us up good for
yep.
that.
Yep, so, Sandy with yeah. Spring Meadows. And yeah. so they've come out with a lot of new product that I want to talk about.
Yeah, there's a few that I'm really excited about, so we'll be able to get into that. Why don't we go over some of our comments and messages that you got in?
Okay. Do you want me to mention the comment about why does Mark interrupt you so much?
I answered that one already for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes he forgets his meds. Yeah.
Okay. This one's from Tamara, and it says, hi, the three apple trees we bought from you folks are doing great. Garfield Scholars Academy.
Oh, okay.
We at Garfield Scholars Academy had so much fun planting them, and the kids are enjoying seeing the trees in the park that they helped plant.
I remember. That's so cool.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I was at the nursery, I had the privilege of meeting and speaking with one of the nuts on the tree. I think it was Josiah.
Couldn't have been you.
Although it may have been Mark. Our reputation proceeds.
We're sorry, Tamara.
we're talking about apple propagation and how the kids were asking a lot about it. He said, either you or me, that we would do a question as part of one of the shows. She says, I've been watching, but I think missed it.
Yeah.
I wanted to share it with all the kids so that they could see a local person address it. So I'm pretty sure I missed it somehow. Can you send me a link on the show with it included? So
great.
What I did was I actually responded to her this morning.
Okay.
Letting her know that we are recording it, so we'll talk about it now.
Yeah. We can talk about it. We're also still going to be doing some of our videos that we do regularly. So that can also be a video we can show right there and then on how we can do that.
Now, did you talk to her? Do you remember talking to her?
I do remember. Now that the question has gone over, I do remember talking to her.
Okay.
Basically, they were wanting to get more educational hands-on. At their school, with trees, outdoors, landscaping, gardening, and so.
Well, she mentioned propagating apple trees.
Propagation. I think she had mentioned to me grafting.
Okay.
Grafting.
Okay. okay. Well, on grafting. Okay, like the 5-in-1 and so forth, like
correct.
That.
Yeah. Okay,
that is very possible. Actually, when you graft what you do, you have. Let me explain to you a few things about an apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
You have your rootstock, and then you have what we call a sign. It's S-C-I-O-N that goes on top of the rootstock, okay? Mm-hmm. So you just boop them together. That's why on an apple tree you'll see a little knot, and that's a graft union.
Correct, yeah.
Now, the rootstock will dictate how big the tree will get.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the rootstock will dictate some rootstocks are with apple trees, it's very important to have a rootstock that will not rot out.
Or is also resistant.
Resistant to droughts, fire blight.
All those sorts of things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With apple trees, it's the M7 and the M5. They're labeled that, and those are the rootstocks I really go for when getting apple trees. So those rootstocks are very important to our industry. Then on top of that, the sign, that's the variety of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your take any Fuji, Gala, Granny Smith.
Yeah.
All these apple trees are grafted onto a certain rootstock. Okay, here at Rockwell Farms, we try to have semi-dwarf apple trees, and I'll tell you why. We have a lot of people that want dwarf apple trees, and dwarf apple trees are good. But number one, they're very hard to get because a lot of the growers pretty much buy them out.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I feel that the semi-dwarf have always done better in our clay soil.
And fruit production, I think.
Okay, yeah. Good. And so the one thing that you do have to take note of is when you're growing apple trees is every winter, we say that the way that you should trim an apple tree is make it part of your anger management, okay?
Yes. They're going to be fruit trees are going to be ugly trees if you're doing it right.
Exactly. And so at least take 50% of the tree off.
Mm-hmm.
Take 50% of the new growth off.
Correct.
So you'll see to where it's grown maybe 18 to 24 inches that year. You'll cut it back to 12 or 9. The reason why that's very important is that each time that you take that much off on the limb, you will increase the girth of the what you've left over. And the girth is the caliper of the stem.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you increase that girth, when you get a very good crop, your limbs won't break. Would you agree with that, especially
correct.
On peach trees?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Pear trees especially. You cannot whack enough on pear trees.
In fact, we're going to be doing a video on how to prune your pear trees. We've got three or four oversized pear trees in the back of the nursery. We've been so busy.
That's right.
Kind of let them go, but we'll be able to do a video on that. As far as propagation, though,
mm-hmm.
When propagating apples from seeds, a lot of people will, you know, cut open the apple, get the seeds from that. The unfortunate problem with that is the varieties that we have now are essentially cultivated to be those varieties.
Exactly.
And so if you're planting those seeds from that apple, you're not going to get the apple that tree might be. You're probably going to get one that's a really old variety, really small, ugly apple. less flavor, just more of an original apple from that seed.
And a lot of the times the seeds will be sterile.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, when you do plant that seed, you'll get a standard apple tree instead of a semi-dwarf or a dwarf.
Correct. So it's probably going to be 30 foot tall.
Yes, somewhere. It'll be a big one. Yeah. Okay. Now, the way that you propagate, meaning the 5-in-1 and so forth, is actually a special knife that you use.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll come in and you'll actually take out one of the nodes. Well, you're really getting in the weeds as far as horticulture is concerned.
Yeah, there's a few ways to do it as well.
Yeah, you'll cut into one of the nodes, and your slit has to be at a very, like a 45-degree angle, and then you'll take that stock and you put it in there, and then you use some whipping tape,
yeah,
and tape it in real quick. And what will happen is that it will become a part of that tree,
yeah,
and then you have a certain variety will be on that limb right there. Hopefully I explained it well.
Yeah, the cambium will fuse together, essentially.
Exactly.
There's also other ways that you can do it where you're cutting off fresh green branches.
Yes.
And you are basically grafting onto the old branch.
Mm-hmm.
Your cuts have to be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
They have to line up, match, and then you're going to be wrapping that.
Right, with the basket.
And that will heal over time. Now, the best time to do grafting on your fruit trees is coming out of winter. They're towards end of winter when things are getting ready to bud out.
Growth.
Yeah, you'll have a much better time trying to graft in that time versus summer, fall, winter. When the tree is hardened up, you don't really have active growth, and it's going to be harder for that cambium to fuse to the new graft.
And you have branching grafting, and you also have bud grafting. I think that bud grafting is the easiest to do. It's when you graft in a bud because you're not dealing with the transpiration, which is the sweating of a big branch.
Yeah.
So a bud graft would be easiest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
I remember at the University of Arkansas, we went to a show,
mm-hmm.
and it was a competition, and we grafted a pear tree into an expellier, which is a flat, for lack of better words.
Yeah.
It's probably, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And we branched them to a trellis, and we took the trellis to the show, and we won an award for that. So it was a pear tree trellis. It was kind of neat.
That's amazing. Yeah. I've seen quite a few people that's becoming more and more popular, growing your fruit trees on your fence line. And it's actually fairly easy to do if you start with the younger tree.
Mm-hmm.
You can start with older trees, but it's pretty interesting to see that,
yeah.
where they just grow as a wall, you know.
Mm-hmm. So on average, when you're buying fruit trees, make sure that you do not be afraid to whack them back. 50% of the new growth is pretty much a good standard.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Put them in there.
Oh,
okay, funny. We have another one from Beth. Hi there, I have some fruit trees I like to replace and also add some additional ones. I was unaware that most fruit trees have a chill hour requirement.
Oh, that's a great question.
That's a very good question, especially with peach trees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do I have to wait closer to spring? If now, do you have any apple trees, cherries, or peaches available? So I responded back to her, and hopefully she will listen. Yes, I did say please listen to the show, and we'll address that.
Yeah. Winter is actually a great time to plant fruit trees, mm-hmm. still, as long as the ground is thawed and not frozen. Mainly, there's some other reasons, technical reasons for that, but it's pretty hard to dig through ice.
Yeah, it's just the physical nature of you being able to dig into the ground.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you can actually plant still in winter, and actually, I favor planting fruit trees in fall or winter over spring, summer,
mm-hmm.
Because your trees need to get rooted and have that established time.
Yes.
So one of my favorite words is colonize. Your root system.
That is
Mark
true.
Will make fun of me.
You love that word.
So your root system colonizes best through fall and winter on most all trees and shrubs,
mm-hmm.
That are meant for your zone. So they'll colonize the best through that time, even though the top of the tree is not doing much. That's when the roots are doing the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so why I like that better is because you can actually, rather than planting in spring or late summer, early summer, whatever, you'll actually get far better chance of getting fruit that next season, planting them in dormant season.
Mm-hmm. So. And back to chilling hours. It's, let me explain chilling hours. Chilling hours are the number of hours that a fruit tree has to have for it to produce fruit. Mm-hmm. For instance, your Bella Georgia peach tree has 500 chilling hours. Your Red Haven maple has 750 chilling hours. Now, let me explain to you the importance of that. Your Bella Georgia will fruit a lot further south, and your Red Haven will fruit further north. We're kind of in the middle, being here at Zone 6A.
Yeah.
I know that USDA says that we're 7B. I always count on 6A whenever we're buying plant material and so forth. But the reason why that's important for you to take note of the chilling hours is your Bella Georgia will bloom earlier, and we might get a late frost, and it'll make all the blooms fall just because it blooms earlier,
yeah,
lower chilling hours.
Yeah.
Your Red Haven will bloom later, and the late frost will not hit your Red Haven, and therefore you'll have fruit. Now, you might ask the question, well, why would you carry the Bella Georgia if there's a possibility of a late frost hitting it?
Because it tastes so good.
Yes.
So the years that you do get fruit on your Bell of Georgia,
yes,
I'm telling you, it is far worth the maybe missed season you didn't get fruit.
Exactly.
You will thank yourself.
And that's why they named the state after the peach tree.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they did. Georgia State.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's
nice,
a good button.
Nice button.
Yeah.
So... So the Bella Georgia is actually, I would say, one of our best sellers.
Yeah, I would say okay? It is just because.
It's a freestone.
Yeah.
It's juice. Go ahead.
When you eat a Bella of Georgia, essentially, you're biting into a juice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's the
so
best
sweet.
Peach.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
It's the best peach guy I've ever made.
Especially homegrown. If you get them in the store, because I've tried getting them in the store, they just don't taste the same. Rather than growing them yourself
and
picking off the tree.
The Bella Georgia, it's a very fresh peach. And by that, what I mean is it's not good for transportation. That's actually why you don't see many Bella Georgias in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. You'll see more of the Red Havens, the Reliance, and so forth.
Correct.
Those are the best, in my opinion, for the homeowner. We always try to sell both of them, okay? One Bella Georgia, one Red Haven or Reliance or one of those varieties to where they are assured a peach that year. Mm-hmm. But yet the Bella Georgia is just a really sweet bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we also have Alberta and Loring.
Yes.
The Alberta, to me, is a lot similar to the Bella of Georgia.
Right. It has low chilling hours.
Low chilling hours, but is a really excellent freestone fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it will store a lot longer than the Bella of Georgia.
Yeah,
yes.
Correct, yeah.
So whenever we get in fruit trees, we're always thinking about the sweetness of them.
Mm-hmm.
The hardiness as far as disease resistance, and its shelf life. If you go back to the apple trees, the Arkansas Black.
Yes.
Arkansas Black was developed in 1923 during the Depression years,
mm-hmm,
because the University of Arkansas developed a apple tree that would have good shelf life because refrigeration wasn't all that good.
People great wanted shelf fresh life. Fruit.
Yes.
And resistance to diseases and stuff that were going on.
Exactly. Yeah. And that would be our number one selling apple tree.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Now, the Arkansas Black, it's kind of like the Bella Georgia, really great fruit. There's a lot of good things about it, but it does have that con. The con being that it's not a great pollinator.
Right.
And so wherever you have an Arkansas Black, you're going to need a pollinator for that. But that other tree that you have, if it's not somewhat self-fertile to itself,
right,
it needs a pollinator for itself as well. So essentially, whenever you get an Arkansas Black, we recommend having two other apple trees for pollination.
Well, let's talk about what are good pollinators. Your Golden Delicious.
Golden, any delicious varieties, great pollinators.
I'd agree with that.
Granny Smith.
Yes, Granny Smith.
Yeah. And Gala. Gala is a great pollinator.
Yes.
Granny Smith, Gala, and Red Delicious or Yellow Delicious. I would say for our zone, those are the best pollinators. So
I'd agree with
if
that.
You have an apple orchard or just a few fruit trees in your yard, those are three apples that I would highly recommend having.
Yeah. And, you know, of those, the Red Delicious is the most popular apple.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the worst tasting.
It's my favorite.
Oh, my.
Oh, it's so good.
Gala.
Oh, it's so
Gala.
Good.
Gala. Gala so by good. Far.
Now, as far as baking, it's terrible because it's softer.
Right.
Sweet apple.
Right. That's when your Granny Smith comes
Granny
in.
Granny Smith, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why at the store it's Granny Smith apple pies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no other way.
Yeah. Okay. That was a good deviation.
Yeah, sure.
I like that. Okay. This one is from Stephanie.
You just throw papers.
Yeah.
Right. I'll clean later.
Sorry about that. This is short and sweet. This is from Stephanie. She's saying, do you have nice small trees under 5 foot? And I reply back to her, I am so sorry, we do not. That the chain stores focus on that. The reason why we do not have trees under 5 foot because we feel that it's a disservice to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
What she's basically talking about is what we would call whips. Whips.
It's just basically a stick. Yeah. You don't exactly. have much foliage, no branches.
Right.
Yeah.
And it what I suggest people do is focus on the 15 gallons that we sell. The 15 gallon is a great tree to purchase, and I'll tell you why. The 15-gallon is the biggest bang for your buck, number one. They in the early spring, they always come in overgrown for the pot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll get a 1 3/4-inch tree in a yeah. small 15-gallon pot. And it's still 15 gallons, so we sell it at the 15-gallon price.
Yeah.
And secondly, the grower has already done good cultural practices on them.
Absolutely. Okay. Usually they're just fantastic.
Don't reinvent the wheel. Buy a 15-gallon that has good canopy and trimmed properly.
Now, was it Stephanie?
Yes.
Stephanie, so sometimes we do get trees that are, but it's not shade trees usually. So sometimes we might get dogwoods that are around 4 to 5 foot tall
right.
In a little 3, 4, and 5 gallon, or I'm sorry, 3, 5, and 7 pot. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes a lot of our evergreen trees, we will get smaller trees, in like a number 3 pot, number 5.
And that's for
7.
The people that want, have more time than
yeah,
money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But your dogwoods, going back to your dogwoods, the reason why we sell smaller dogwoods is because they have a higher success rate.
Especially the native varieties. Agreed. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And of all the trees that are sold at, you know, either, whether it be Rockwell Farms or any nursery, the dogwood is the most finicky tree that we sell, that we plant.
Absolutely. So the funny thing about a dogwood is, especially the native varieties, they grow natively here all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very finicky being planted or transplanted.
Yeah.
And so I've had a couple people ask about that. Well, how come I see dogwoods everywhere, but I can hardly grow one?
Right.
Well, the reason is because birds drop those seeds and they just take off like that.
That's why you see cedars along a underneath the wires of a telephone.
Yeah. So dogwoods and redbuds, highly recommend planting those in cooler temps or dormancy. Mm-hmm. They do a lot better. You can certainly plant them when they're in their growing season. That's perfectly fine. But you're going to have a little bit more watering and babysitting to do.
So to wrap it up, Stephanie, go ahead and buy a larger tree is what we recommend. Something around the 8 foot nature, 8 to 10 foot, to where you will get quicker satisfaction and benefit from the cultural practices of the growers that we use.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Okay, and lastly, we have Tony. Tony says, I'm looking for a couple of those deer-resistant plants.
Okay.
Like red oster dogwood, American plum, and nanny berry. Okay, want the American plum. Well, first of all, the red oster. We do have the red oster dogwood. We'll have that this coming spring.
Mm-hmm.
And the American plum is the American plum is not a variety that we carry, but we do have plum trees like the Metheny.
Yeah.
And the nanny berry, I believe that's a viburnum, a variety of viburnum. And viburnums throughout across the board do have deer resistance. What I recommended to him was come in the springtime And all of our deer resistant plants will be in that deer proof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Container.
They will, the is pot will be marked super easy for you to see. So absolutely. If you come in the spring or just anytime, all of our deer resistant plants are marked, especially by proven winners. They do an amazing job at making sure it's super easy to see. You don't have to read a tag. It's on the pot. So proven winners does a bang up job at that. So we have a huge variety of deer-proof shrubs, plants, and trees. So.
Yeah. And I did tell him that we would talk about if a lot of the times, even though you buy a deer-resistant tree or a shrub, whenever you plant something new in your lawn.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
A deer, I mean, it's like candy to a deer, and they have to go investigate it.
Yeah.
I don't care what you plant. They will go investigate it.
Yeah.
And if you know deer, they'll eat the thorns off a barberry.
Yeah.
Right?
Very deer resistant.
Yes.
Yeah. If you put anything new in your yard, deer are, like you would say, creatures of habit. So if there's something new in the yard, though, even if it's deer resistant at the highest level, there's still a great possibility they're going to try it out to figure out that it's deer resistant.
Exactly.
So you might plant something new or a few new things and go out there and they're half of a shrub. That's because they're figuring it out.
Well, that's where your repellents come. There's two things that you can
do. Yes.
Your repellents and Fertilome
mm-hmm.
just came out with a very good repellent. You don't have
Critter Go. No,
yes.
I don't have it here with me, but okay. Critter Go. Well, yeah.
Because it's a very new product this year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we are getting it in the spring,
mm-hmm.
and they have the same formulation of our previous product that was a total knockout as far as repellent.
Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Bob and, X.
Yes, yep. Bob X. And that was the product that, remember at the trade show that everybody, he mm-hmm. was the buzzword, okay? You got to buy Bob X to protect your trees and shrubs. And that's when I signed up with Bob X. And so now Fertilome has the same active ingredient in their...
And Critter Go. So Fertilome is just tried and true. Basically anything that they make is just...
Yeah.
Awesome product for your garden or landscape.
They've been around before we were around.
But Critter Go, it repels a lot more than just, it's safe for your cat or dog, but it repels a lot more than just deer. So it's a whole wide variety.
Yes.
Rabbits,
squirrels,
if you have problems with those in your garden,
mm-hmm.
Critter Go. So we carry that starting this year. So.
Yep. So you can use Critter Go or another... mode of action to keep mm-hmm. deer away from your tree is to a little trick that I share with people is buy 4-inch pipe, the drainage pipe that you would find at Lowe's
mm-hmm.
or Home Depot, and you just cut it down the middle and put that on the trunk. And the reason why I suggest people do that is because a deer will come by with his antlers
and rub on any new tree.
Exactly.
Every new tree.
Marking its territory, I guess.
Yep.
Or to get the fur off of its antlers.
Yep.
So that's two things that we highly recommend that you do. Use the Critter Go, and do a 4-inch pipe on this central trunk of the tree.
Yeah, and you can get those at like any supply store like Lowe's, Home Depot, any of those, that 10-foot corrugated pipe, mm-hmm. that works great because it's really flexible, easy to use.
Okay.
So, hey, why don't we get into time to apply and see what we got here.
Da-da-da-da. Hey, that was good.
That was good. Time to apply. Oh, it's right here.
I'll let you do it.
All right, time to apply. So dormant oil spray and horticultural spray. So what you should be doing in your yard right now, time to apply. So with our dormant spray and horticultural spray, scale, bores, things like that.
Let's kind of get into the difference of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
Your dormant oil is a thicker oil than your horticultural oil.
Mm-hmm.
So the dormant oil is one that we like to use in the late fall and and late winter.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then you'll get into your horticultural spray when you get into your higher temperatures, 60, 70 degrees, because it's a finer spray that will not burn the plant.
Now, you do not want to use it when it's over 75 degrees outside and it's sunny, 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 because it is an oil and it will burn up those plants if it gets too hot. So it is an oil. But right now, for your fruit trees especially, keeping the bugs out of the bark and off the tree, especially scale. It will just rev right back up. If you have it on your trees, don't expect winter weather to kill the scale or the insects, because it won't. They'll still be there. So dormant oil spray is great for that right now, especially with the cooler temperatures. It's made with active ingredient is mineral oil. Is that
mineral oil?
Mineral oil
or castor oil?
Yeah, and so
it's canola oil.
Yeah.
Those three. Sorry.
Great. It'll suffocate those bugs, especially scale on there. Or if it kills all stages of bug growth on your plants.
Mainly the eggs.
It'll kill, eggs, larvae, and full adult insects. Mm-hmm. And so it'll kill all of those to make sure that you're going into your next season with a really great start on pest control. Because as much as we want the fruit on the trees, so does everything else.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because dormant oil is one of those products by High Yield, which is made by Fertilome. It's one of those products that people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the wintertime where they don't really want to get out.
Yeah.
So we highly recommend that you use it late fall or early spring. The way I look at it, it is a very good preventative.
Yeah.
And it gives you a clean start for that coming year.
I couldn't agree more with
you. Okay. Yeah. Because they will have all those eggs hatch, and the eggs will hatch into larvae, which become borers into the tree. And also, you mentioned the scale. It's a very good time to get rid of all the scale that is on the bark of a tree, which you don't notice. You can be infected and not even know it.
Now, you can use this dormant oil spray. You can use this on your fruit trees, shade trees, ornamentals, shrubs, and flowering shrubs. So you can use it basically on everything right now.
Yeah.
And it's really going to take care of things, especially also roses. Roses are another one. You don't want bugs sticking around for your roses. And so it's a great time to use that on those as well.
Yep. And it also will kill the fungi.
Well, I'm a fun guy.
Yeah, you are a fun guy.
I am a fun guy.
Yeah. One that never leaves.
I know.
But, you know, if you think about the spores, will be blown in the air, and a lot of the spores will transfer from one plant to another. Mm-hmm. Like peach leaf curl. A lot of the peach leaf curl can be, the fungi can be killed with dormant oil when it's saturated with the dormant oil on the bud.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes out, it won't transfer to the other.
Yeah, it acts as basically like a shield over your plant, so the spore can't transfer. That's glad you said that.
Yeah, that's a very good thought. All right, what else?
All right, so for houseplants, if you are a true gardener like me, winter comes around, you get a little bit depressed because nothing's green and everything sticks.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So my wife makes fun of me. I've said this a couple times, but she makes fun of me. Cold weather comes, and I kind of load up on houseplants that
Yeah, you do.
But what to do to take care of those houseplants? So we've got from Fertilome. I'm going to go ahead and grab these. Make sure that you are fertilizing your plants. I think Jess will get a picture up here for us. Make sure that you're fertilizing your plants. You got to keep in mind that when your plants are in a pot, they're going to exhaust all of the nutrients in that pot fairly quick. So you want to be making sure that you are continuously giving them food, whereas if they were planted outside, they would find the food. In a pot, they can't do that. So,
you know what I really like about this? They're in small bottles.
Yeah, and it's water soluble.
So. I really like this. Easy to use.
So I use this quite a bit. You just pour a little bit in your watering can. The measurements are on the back for you. And then you just fertilize. We've also got for cactus and succulent mix. So if you've brought your cacti or succulents in the house because of the cold weather, now's a great time to go ahead and give them a fertilizer, keep them going strong into the next season. So another thing for your houseplants, if you have them indoors and you have low air quality or anything, you're going to be experiencing bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And also if the plant is not healthy because you forgot to fertilize, you're more susceptible to those bugs.
One thing I really like that we have done
is
that we have these really inexpensive squirt bottles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And it puts out a really fine mist. Mm-hmm. I've used one. And so when it comes to insects, the triple action and the insecticidal soap.
Yes.
Yeah.
So triple action by Fertilome. This is a great product because it's a fungicide, miticide, and insecticide.
And it's totally organic.
Yeah, it's made with pyrethrin, which comes from chrysanthemum, mm-hmm. and then neem oil. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to cover three areas. So you're going to get your mites, your insects, and make sure that it'll also create that barrier, mm-hmm. kind of like the dormant oil spray, mm-hmm. So you don't get fungus.
Yeah, and some of the things that you really had problems with is spider mites during the wintertime.
That is the biggest one.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, and that's why I like the triple action.
Yeah. My sister's husband, she has, or he has a whole, you walk into their house and it's a jungle. Oh, it's amazing. Really? Oh, it's absolutely amazing. Oh, it's like heaven over there. So, actually sent some of this, he got the triple action and he's using that on his plant. I'll have to give you an update on that.
Okay.
But on his, split leaf monsteras and, mm-hmm. and whatnot, he got some, spider mites on the plants. And so that's what he's actively using. I'll have to get you an update for that.
And the reason why I like triple action is it is very hard to find, a product that works mm-hmm. and is organic.
Absolutely.
Totally safe to use in the home.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So you don't have to worry about the cat that might try to eat the plant or the yep. kids. So, yeah, great product.
Okay. What else is time to apply? Go ahead.
Winterizing plants. So this is something that you should have probably already done. If the cold weather keeps on, it's not too late. But winterizing your plants. So something that we have found that works great for that is actually to make sure that you are using the root stimulator,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have the, there are salts in the fertilizer. It's going to stimulate the roots in this dormant season when, again, those roots are colonizing really well. So get a great start on that. But it's also got salts in it, correct? So those the salts in the root stimulator are going to work as an antifreeze for your plants. So that will help a little bit to get through winter. So.
And most of the time that you when you do overwinter plants, like a lot of people will try to overwinter the elephant ears.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. And so they'll bring them inside and put them in the garage.
Or under the sink in a burlap bag.
Yep. Yep. And another one is a banana tree.
Mm-hmm.
There's a customer that comes up here and they sell us banana trees every year.
Yeah.
And the way she winterizes them is she throws them under her carport.
Yeah.
It's like a crawl space. She just throws them all in there. She propagates them like you wouldn't believe. But, yes, root stimulator is very good for overwintering. So what else do you have?
All right. And then, when you back to nature,
mm-hmm.
cotton burr compost. So that's something you kind of want to do when you plant, or you can also add to the top as kind of a top dress and a mulch. Mm-hmm. We've done that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's also going to help winterize those plants, going to help with drainage, aeration, so you don't just have a block of ice that your roots are sitting in. So those are some really good things that you could do as well.
And in clay soil, first of all, the cotton burr compost, the back to nature brand of cotton burr compost, in my opinion, is the best.
Agreed.
We have used it for years. Mm-hmm. It's very effective. The biggest problem is do not use too much. Don't ever use more than 50% cotton burr compost and 50% soil.
Yeah.
Okay. Very important. And secondly, cotton burr compost, yes, it stimulates the root system and it keeps you from having root rot.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things I like about cotton burr compost, because when you have clay soils,
mm-hmm.
your biggest enemy is root rot.
Yeah. Here in Northwest Arkansas, if you are in a fairly newer house, all you have in your yard is clay soil.
Yes.
Because that's what they're using to pack in or backfill around your house. It's mm-hmm. real cheap. And so most likely you have, if it's within the last 10 years newer than that, you probably have a lot of clay. We already have a lot of clay here in Northwest Arkansas already.
Exactly.
And so you want to make sure that you're using something with your plants like cotton burr compost. That's going to aerate the soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's made 100% from what's left over in the cotton fields, and it's composted. So it's really airy.
Mm-hmm.
And my other favorite word, loamy.
Yes. We need a button for his words.
Yeah, we need a button for
Loamy.
One
for Loamy and the other one colonize, okay, please? And, you know, cotton burr compost, because it is a legume, it also adds nitrogen to your soil.
Correct.
And it's one of the three main ingredients to our raised beds. You know, the Magnificent Seven that we created? Magnificent Seven is a creation of Rockwell Farms. It's based on the same thing as square foot gardening, if people remember that.
Yes.
It's five bags of cotton burr compost. It's one 4 cubic foot bag of vermiculite, coarse grade vermiculite, and then 1 3.8 compressed bale of sphagnum peat moss. Mm-hmm. So it's 5, 1, and 1 equals 7. That's our magnificent 7 for raised beds.
Yeah.
And the reason why that works so well is because you can seed in it. You can take your hand, and the aeration is always perfect for years on end. You take your hand and just go all the way down, and it's always very loamy.
Loamy.
Yeah.
Loamy. But you don't get root rot.
Yes.
It's amazing. You don't get root rot.
Right.
Our tomatoes are always
our tomato trees.
Exploding.
Our tomato trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
We tomato, have trees for tomatoes.
The trunks on the tomatoes are, oh, man.
Oh, they were over an inch.
Yeah. Well, we can't just, you know, say it's the Magnificent Seven. It is. But we also have been using the Royal Gold, Grow, Imperial Boost, and Bloom.
Yeah.
And if you don't know about Imperial, Crown Grow Gold. Jewels, mm-hmm. Their fertilizer from Royal Gold, if you don't know about them, they actually started in the cannabis industry in Humboldt, California, Humboldt County, California. And so now wherever you are with that, cannabis is a really hard plant to grow, or can be.
Yes.
And so these guys have figured out, well, they got older and wanted to start their own gardens. Mm-hmm. And so we actually had Adrian on a show a little bit back, wanted to start gardens. And they have realized that not always one fertilizer fits all, okay? And so what they have designed is fertilizer for each stage of growth. Mm-hmm. So they have their grow when you're starting out your plants.
Well, let me put it in perspective just a little bit, because you mentioned cannabis.
Yeah.
Cannabis is what you call a C4 plant.
Mm-hmm.
It is an extremely demanding plant.
Yeah.
Okay, it's very hard to grow.
Yeah.
Well, your tomato plant is the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's really absolutely no difference between a cannabis plant and a tomato plant as far as how you grow it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I have always said, if you can grow a good tomato plant, you can grow good anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tomatoes are our number one selling vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most important vegetable to anybody who.
Me.
Yeah.
Most important to me.
Mean, the world could be going to hell in a May basket, but if their tomato plant is nice and green, their life is good. Okay. Life is good. So, sorry,
my mouth is watering.
I just want to put a little perspective on that.
Yeah.
Because if you can grow a good tomato plant, you can grow good anything. And we got tomato trees from using this.
No kidding. So we also use this not just on our tomatoes. I started using this in our flower beds here at the nursery.
Oh.
I started using it on our fruit trees in the back. Just, I mean, I was blown away. It was almost like cheating. It's organic, so it does take a little bit more time to break down. But once it breaks down into your soil and
compared to synthetics.
Yeah.
Yes.
The awesome benefit of using organic in your garden is compared to synthetic, especially in your vegetable garden, is synthetic can sometimes be like a drug. Your plant keeps needing it.
Right.
If you forget to feed it, your plant freaks out. Well, with organic, continues to break down over time unless it's slow release. Continues to break down over time. So
I've always explained the difference like this, mm-hmm. between organic and synthetic. Your organics, look, first of all, what you put into your plant, you put it into your body.
Yeah.
And people really need to think about that,
mm-hmm.
because your body needs stuff like boron, manganese, magnesium, some of the things you don't get in a synthetic.
Feed the temple. Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
Secondly, your synthetics are kind of like crack cocaine. All right. Yeah. Once it's gone, that plant's gone.
Now it's a little bit different for trees and shrubs, but your vegetable garden.
If you don't keep supplying that synthetic,
mm-hmm.
all right, and the plant will wither and die. It will not perform well. And so that plant is dependent on the fertilizer. What you really want is put in organics to where you have good microbial growth in your soil.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then your plant is surviving from the nutrients in the soil rather than just the fertilizer.
Yeah.
Did I explain it well?
Absolutely. Your soil ends up being what feeds your plants.
And yes.
With vegetable gardening, fruit trees, that's really kind of what you want. You want your soil to be the thing that's feeding your plants, not you.
Right. So don't treat your soil like dirt.
Yeah. Hey, that's pretty good. That. Yeah. I was waiting for the button. That's great.
Thank you, Miss Jessica.
Senti Studios.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's awesome. So you can do that applause a little louder. Okay. That was too short. All right. Yeah, you deserve longer.
A little bit longer.
Yeah. I feel cheated. Another thing about, okay. So Royal Gold is not the only, organic fertilizer out there.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay. Let's just talk about some of the difference between Royal Gold and some of the others, because we dropped all the others and we carried just Royal Gold.
Dropped it like a hat. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's explain to people why. Okay. I think that's a very good question.
Well, can I start? Well, 1 year, Mark and I, especially Mark, was exploring the options of organic fertilizing. Mm-hmm. And we were already doing organic gardening before, especially in the back. But then
in our test garden, people need to know that we have a test garden that we test all these fertilizers out.
Everything that we talk about, we test. So before we sell it to you, we try it first. Yes. We test it out, make sure it's worth selling.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to do a disservice to the public.
Right.
It's awful. So we try everything out, especially at the Rockwell Farms Research Center.
Yep.
Norman Rockwell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your brother. And so, which we need to have him.
Yeah, we'll have him on now. Yeah.
Awesome. So we realized how expensive it was getting just to get organic tomatoes. You know what I'm saying? You might as well just buy them from the store.
Well, yeah, because some of the fertilizers were cheaper up front. The package was cheaper.
But same weight. So much. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was just too expensive to use. And because they had a lot of filler in them, the feather meal.
Yeah.
Okay, they're just bird feathers. Let's just get right down to it.
Yeah.
And the size, the particle size was a lot bigger. And why does that matter? Is because they filled
up. It takes longer to break down as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And Royal Gold has a very small particle size.
Yeah.
And it breaks down quicker and you get more.
Yeah, we were basically upset, scratching our heads, trying to figure out there's got to be a better way. And then Adrian from Royal Gold showed up out of the blue, completely out of the blue.
Yeah.
Showed up and gave us some samples. So we tried it out and we were blown away the first year. I mean, just from 10 tomato plants, the amount of tomatoes we got was crazy.
What was that? What was the finisher?
It was the Imperial Boost.
Yes. Yeah.
Ooh.
I like that. The Imperial Boost was a knockout on our tomatoes.
Oh, golly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what pushed me over the edge. You were the one.
Potassium. Yes. Okay, so the organic fertilizer, also calcium, so important in especially tomato plants, so you don't get blossom end rot, falling flower, all of those things. You get a good shell around your fruit, basically, and it doesn't just rot out. So the calcium in some of the other fertilizers we were using was real low, like 8%, which was the highest we could find, but that's kind of the minimum for what they need. Their Imperial Boost had 17% calcium, which is amazing for a organic fertilizer. Hard to find.
Even in the Grow, they had the highest standard of the other ones. The Grow is 8%.
Yeah.
Which you don't need much. You don't need the calcium in the Grow. That's why you have
It's really when it gets to fruiting. So that's why you have the Bloom and the Imperial Boost for that, because it's really going to get you the best tasting fruit. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have blossom end rot. Mm-hmm. You're not going to, I can't count the times I hear people coming in to the nursery in the growing season. Hey, I get it flowers really well. And then the flowers just fall.
Yeah.
Well, lack of calcium.
Yeah. It's not just tomatoes, but you're also talking about,
zucchini,
your squash, all your squash plants,
cucumber, pumpkin
and your melons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So flowers really good. Can't get it to fruit. And so now we've been able to get them on Royal Gold. And I'm not just trying to do an infomercial. I'm telling you because it's really worked for us here at the nursery because we are real gardeners. So
We actually have. We call it now the employee garden.
Yeah.
And I really like that because it is all practical experience in the garden.
Yeah. And so everybody that works here gets hands on with that, and they're better able to help customers because of that. So that's grown really nicely.
Yeah. And we also test all the fungicides and insecticides in our garden.
Oh, yeah.
As well. So, yep. So, all right, what else do you have as far as, man, this is a long segment of Time to Apply.
Yeah, well, that's it on Time to Apply. So okay. What do we got next?
Well, let's get into our shrubs. All right, some of
proven winners.
Yeah, Spring Meadow does an awesome job as far as bringing out new material.
Yeah.
And we have been so impressed by their material that they bring out that we are pretty much hip to hip to with them.
Yeah. I'm so glad you answered her when you were on her tractor that one day, Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
Where would we be?
I get a lot of phone calls. Yeah, that's right. I was on the tractor. And out of the blue, I normally don't answer my phone when I'm deep in my work. And mm-hmm. I answer the phone. And it was this woman, Sandy.
Yeah, Sandy. Yeah. From Proven Winners.
Yeah. She didn't like me at first.
No. She loves me. She got
Who
me
doesn't jacket. Love you?
She got me some cool keychains.
You get all the okay. All right.
A computer mouse thing, pad. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get any cool stuff.
All the free cool stuff.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So open up their catalog and because some of their in fact, almost all their new items that they have coming out that we will be carrying.
Yeah,
go ahead and start
over a few of those.
Yeah, I'm glad you had that keyed up.
Actually, everything that's a new item from Proven Winter that's come out, we will be carrying this spring. Mm-hmm. And so those come in and quart pots. They go into just grow beautifully. They grow really fast. And so
now, one of the things that we've always been happy with, I'm going to talk barbary. Can I start off with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. There's one of my favorites. It's been my favorite for a long time. It's the Tangelo.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love the Tangelo. And now they've come out with the what? Fast. Okay. The Tangelo and the Neo.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're coming out with the Fast Neo. Kind of tell us about that.
So the Fast Neo is a proved, improved variety of their Neo, their SunJoy Neo. So it's got a lot of orange in it, but it grows a lot faster. So if you're needing something that's a little bit more instant gratification, this new variety that's coming out this year, we'll be carrying it this spring, the Fast Neo, it's going to grow a lot more at a rapid rate than your just regular Neo. It's going to take better form, better shape, more compact, and more foliage. So okay. We're pretty excited about that.
All right. Berryscape, Aronia.
Berryscape.
Right.
This one we're getting in because it's going to grow some really, really pretty berries.
In the fall?
I believe so, in the fall. So this one's going to be covered. So this is a new variety that Proven Winners has that's known for its amount of berries mm-hmm. it produces that are bright red, going to be beautiful shrub, and it's really showy. So mm-hmm. If you need that in your fall, kind of like the pearl clam that we'll be getting as well,
yes.
I'm going to produce those berries closer to the fall, and it's really a show-off.
Yeah, and we carry it not only for the aesthetics of the berry, mm-hmm. but for the birds. Birds are always looking for something to eat in the fall.
Yeah.
And it is a very, very big bird winner.
All right. The next one I want to talk about is Oh So Easy Red Stripe. So this is a rose. Oh, yeah. And
we love the roses.
Jess is going to be putting this up for you. But Oh So Easy Red Stripe. So I planted some of the Oh So Easy Double Red mm-hmm. in the test garden in the back last mm-hmm. year. They started as quart pots. Now our quart pots are not that big. And so didn't look impressive when
it came in. The plant itself is probably 6 to 8 inches tall.
But planted it, I used the Royal Gold bloom, of course, in the back, mm-hmm. and that thing exploded. I'm telling you, it had blooms up until early December.
Yeah.
So it bloomed over and over. Thanks for the button.
Yeah.
It bloomed over and over, and it never stopped. Once it started blooming,
right.
It just kept coming. So, you know, typically with like a knockout, it's going to have a little bit of a...
How tall did that sucker get?
The Oh So Easy?
Yeah.
About 3.5-4 foot tall?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about 4 foot tall, around 3.5-4 foot tall.
I thought it was more than
and
that.
And wide. But it has.
That was crazy.
It filled out.
That was crazy.
It exploded.
Yeah.
You know, so like your knockout, love knockout variety. I've got a few planted at my house. But it does have a little bit of a season in the summer where it kind of stops producing blooms as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll cut it back, and then it'll explode again. The Oh So Easy Man, it was so yeah, easy.
Okay, there you go.
It just kept going and kept going.
One of the oh so easies that I want to talk about is the yellow. Okay.
Yes.
If you think about yellow, I mean, think about it. Yellow roses, they're hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking about the primary color yellow.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they are coming out with a oh-so-easy yellow reminiscent.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Usually to find a true yellow rose, it has to be like a hybrid tea rose. And not everybody... Yeah. It does well with those.
And even then, it's not a deep yellow.
Yeah.
It's hard to find the deep yellow.
So the ones that I have found that does really well is the reminiscent yellow that they've, this is actually a new item. The reminiscent yellow, it's a bright, bright, deep yellow.
Yeah.
Brad is brighter than Jess's shirt right there.
She's not on camera.
No, you can't see it. Oh, anyways. And then also the Julia Childs.
Oh, yeah, you get a free bottle of wine.
Now, that's, yeah.
That was good.
That was good.
I mean, really, she drank more wine than she cooked with.
Yeah. Julia Child. Did you hear that? She might have been she was a spy.
Yeah, I don't know.
They had her as a spy.
Really?
So
I think she's an alcoholic. Is
that true? Somebody fact check that, please.
Yeah. I love Julia Child. I mean, you know, I could cook for the flip, but who didn't love Julia Child?
Going to grab the lobster.
She was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Oh, hey, they've got
incredible.
Yeah, incredible storm-proof.
Yeah.
So hydrangeas. Let's talk hydrangeas.
Oh, man, you love hydrangeas.
Love hydrangeas. One of my favorites. So incredible, as you know, is a great variety from PW, Proven Winners, but they've come out with an improved variety that's called storm-proof. So, you know, when you get hydrangeas and they look all big and beautiful, and then we have a random summer storm and they all fall over.
Yeah.
These do not do that.
Yeah.
They are strong enough to withhold their big bloom that they have. So it's an improved variety by PW to make sure that you don't have floppy hydrangeas.
Yeah.
So really good variety.
Hate the flop.
Another one that they've got is hydrangea is their Fairy Tale Bride. Well, now they have Fairy Tale Fresca. So Fairy Tale Fresca has different colors in it. It has a little bit of pink, blue, and green and white in it. So
it's like multicolored.
Yeah, it is. So all in the same bloom. Mm-hmm. What I love about the Fairy Trail varieties is they kind of cascade. So you can put them in a pot. They're going to keep blooming. They're re-blooming, so they'll continue to keep going all through the summer mostly. But they have white, they have green, they have the Fresca, which is a multicolor.
Yeah.
But they cascade. They look absolutely beautiful. So they do great on a retaining wall. They can handle a little bit more sun, but if you have them on the porch in a pot, they do absolutely wonderful.
In other words, if you want to know about a hydrangea, just see Josh, see Josiah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just see Marcus.
No, yeah. I want to talk about Spice Cowboy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that where the show is going now?
Yep.
Okay.
Spice Cowboy.
We're desperate.
It's a viburnum. It's a new variety that Spring Meadow has come out with. And you know the big snowball bush?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. People snowball. Love the big viburnum. White balls. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now they came out with the Spice Cowboy, which a lot of the times they get a snowball bush.
Yeah.
It'll be sporadic. Spice Cowboy has more blooms than you've ever seen.
And it's covered.
Yeah. Totally covered with the white blooms.
The next one I want to talk about, it's I'm most excited about it. It's Prunus. It's a cherry. It's called Easiest Pie. We'll be getting this in from Proven Winners, Easiest Pie. This is supposed to be a cherry tree that grows really, really well, but it's actually a shrub, not a cherry.
Yeah, and a lot of people do not know the value of a cherry bush, the Prunus varieties, as far as a bush is concerned. I have always loved them. They're the first to bloom. They're beautiful. Whenever we've carried the cherry bushes in the past, people they don't know about it, but when they see it, they love it.
This is an edible cherry, so it's not just for the bloom and the beauty. Although it has that, this is an edible bush. So it's called Easiest Pie. It produces a lot. Doesn't get really big and overgrown, but is according to Sandy, talking with Sandy, super easy to grow. Mm-hmm. Super easy to grow. Can handle harder, compact soil as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can come, feel free to taste it every Saturday.
Yep, there we go. All right. Well.
All right. Well, I just Thank you. And please, comment on the comment section of our show.
Yeah.
And please send in your questions at rockwellfarmsnursery.com. Is that correct, Jess? Okay. And then go in the comment section and email us, and we will address your emails on the show.
Yeah, ask us any questions. That also helps us with the content that we feed you. So feed us with those questions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed our show.
We'll talk to you next time.